Okay, that's how my voice goes. Yep, not too bad. It's gonna be croaky, so if I start croaking, just come and whack me on the back, and everything will be all fine.
You want a glass of water?
Ah, it's better. Thank you very much. Fantastic. Can I just say, thanks for having me this week. I've had a ball.
Thanks for being here.
I've had a ball on this soccer camp.
Oh. That's a joke. Why is there a soccer theme?
No, seriously, I can't think of a better camp to come on, where we get to talk about Jesus and then play soccer all day. How good is that? I hope I can come back to this camp again one day.
Yes.
It'll be a fantastic thing. I might pray. How about you pray with me? I'm going to pray that God would really help us in this final talk as we look at the Bible, as we learn about these things, that he'd really speak to us and help us to understand those things. How about you pray with me? Dear God, thanks that we can pray. Thank you that we can call you God and we can call you our Father. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you for speaking so clearly to us in the Bible, and we pray that you'd help us now to understand it. We thank you that this week, as we've learnt from the Bible, we've been able to have a great time playing soccer, a great time making new friends. We pray now that you'd help us to see that the best friend to make is Jesus. We thank you for what he did for us, and we pray, please pray that now and during our study group and conversations over the rest of the day, we would understand even more how incredible he is, the King, the powerful one who created everything, yet came down as a baby and died upon a cross. We pray that we would know him, and we pray that now as we read the Bible, we would see him clearly. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm really struggling this morning. I can only remember 1, 2, 3, 4 words. I can't even remember what's supposed to go on this picture. So does anyone know anything? Do you know what goes on the picture? Do you want to? Is there some? I think there's some words that are supposed to go at the top. Do you want to have a go at that? I don't even know where they're supposed to go. Heaven. Oh, okay. Ah, heaven. Yeah. Okay. What's the other side then? Excellent. Who's in heaven?
JC.
JC. What's that thing you're putting around the head?
Crown.
Why?
To show he's king.
Okay.
We have a jewel.
Oh, 3 jewels. Yeah. Okay. If that's who's in heaven, who's on earth?
Lost peeps.
Okay, we've got the lost peeps. Now, some of them realise they're lost, but others they don't. They don't realise that they're living in what?
The squiggly
lines.
Zones.
No, don't put that on yet. Put the squiggly lines on first. Oh, the squiggly lines. Yeah, good decision. Excellent. Round of applause for JJ. Okay, we need some help to get a few more things up here. We've got half the cross drawn. Finish that in a moment. Who hasn't had a go doing this? If you had a go yesterday, don't put your hand up. Yeah, come on down. Okay, so we've got Jesus. He's in heaven. We've got lost peeps there on earth. What did Jesus do?
He died on the cross.
He did, but there's an arrow that needs to go somewhere.
Oh, he came to earth.
He came to earth. Okay, and what did he come to earth to do?
To make us turn back to him.
To make us turn back to him. Jesus came to make us turn back to him.
After you did the cross.
We'll do the cross first. So someone just said that. Who said that? What did you say? Jesus came to...
Jesus came to die.
Jesus came to die on the cross. That's how he rescues. That's how he saves lost peeps. And there's two things we can do in responding to Jesus. One involves a Kia and the other a Holden.
What is it?
A U-turn. Do you want to draw that? Do you want to draw that? Okay, so you can turn back to Jesus, or you can what?
Go your own way.
You can chuck a Yui.
Smash.
And you can turn back to Jesus, or you can go your own way. Now, this line here, we'll have to rub that bit out and make a new one here for Jesus. So Jesus comes down into the world. He dies on a cross. Remember yesterday we talked about the cross of Jesus calls us home. Whether you're a good person, a religious-y person, or whether you're a terrible person who's done many, many terrible things in your life, the cross of Jesus tells us to turn back, to come back to Jesus. And so we can either come back or we can go our own way. And going our own way is a terrible way to go. We've got a memory verse here. I want everyone to close their eyes. Okay, I'm going to start it, then I'm going to stop. And 1,000 bonus points if you can all say it in unison and get it correct. Here we go. The Son of Man
came to look for and to save people who are lost. Luke 19:10.
Fantastic. That's 1,000 bonus points. Well done.
What are you for?
You can redeem them at the canteen down in the middle of the oval. The Son of Man came to look for and to save people.
Oops.
That's better, right? Peeps. Whoops. Peeps. People who are lost. So Jesus came to look for and to save people who are lost. We are lost, and we need to turn to Jesus to be found. We need to turn to Jesus to become friends with him, to go to heaven and be with him forever. Now, there's lots of people, I don't know if you've worked this out before, maybe you're one of these people, maybe you go to school with some of these people, there's lots of people who make fun of Jesus. There's lots of people who make fun of Jesus. What I want you to talk about, we've asked a question each day with the person beside us. The question I want you to ask today is, why do you think people make fun of Jesus? Before you ask that question and talk about it, I need everyone during this question to stand up to talk about it. And then I need you to sit back down and everyone needs to be on their bottoms. No lying down, no leaning against it so that you're going to go to sleep. Okay? Why do people make fun of Jesus? Why do you think people make fun of Jesus? Go, 30 seconds. Yeah, that might be great. Thanks. Okay, sitting down on your bottoms, sitting up ready to listen, sitting up ready to share your answers. Thanks, Triple J. Hey, we've been doing really well with these, and I expect that'll happen again today. So pop your hand up if you want to share something. The question is, why do you think people make fun of Jesus? Yeah.
They think they're the best.
So people think it's cool to make fun of Jesus and to mock Jesus. Good one. Yeah. Excellent. Maybe people make fun of Jesus because they don't really know who he is. They don't realise he's the king of the universe who could squash them with some spit. They may not realise that, yeah.
They thought that he was a nutcase because he said he was a Messiah.
Excellent. People thought that Jesus was a nutcase because of the claims that he made about himself. We're going to look at that in the Bible in just a moment, yeah.
Because they might think it's impossible for him to make all the whole world.
Yeah, good one. So people may not believe, and people may make fun of Jesus because they just think it's impossible for Jesus to do what he says he did, for Jesus to make the whole world. They just don't believe that he could be truly, truly able to do those things. There's some really, really good answers because lots and lots of people make fun of Jesus. Maybe in your school, the only time you hear about Jesus is when someone swears. when someone goes for a shot at goal and misses, they swear and they say Jesus' name at that point. Maybe that's one of the only times you ever hear the name Jesus. And I'm confident that that's one of the only times lots of people only ever say the name Jesus when they want to swear. People like to make jokes about Jesus. People like to draw rude cartoons about Jesus and Bible stories. The question I want to ask you today, and we're going to hear the answer from the Bible passage that we're going to look at, is what is it that makes someone reject Jesus? What is it that would force someone to make fun of Jesus? What is it that would force someone... What is it that would force someone to reject Jesus? You don't need to put your hand up. We're going to see what the Bible has got to say. We're going to see what the Bible says about why people reject Jesus. Everyone sitting up on your bottoms, no lying down. Boys, let's go.
Brennan.
Okay, grab the Bible passage out. We're on page number 8.
Brennan.
You got the question? We're going to look at this passage and see why it is that there are some people who reject Jesus, and even why it is there are some people who accept Jesus. I'm going to read from sentence number 32. Get your finger out. I'm looking around to see if people's fingers are on number 32, ready to go. Other leaders are looking around too. Make sure you can see the Bible and listen very carefully with your ears. It says, two criminals were led out to be put to death with Jesus. When the soldiers came to the place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus to a cross. They also nailed the two criminals to crosses, one on each side of Jesus. Jesus said, Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, from here on, as we see, Jesus, he's got... Can you see the picture? We've got Jesus, he's been crucified. There's one man on his left. There's one man on his right. There's these three people at this place called the Skull. That sounds like one of the places out of the zombie movies that Jeff likes. This place is called the Skull. We've got these three people being crucified. And from here on, in just such a short space, we're going to see a whole bunch of different responses to Jesus. We're going to see a whole bunch of ways that people treat Jesus. And they could be summarized into two categories. The first one is people reject Jesus. Rejecting Jesus. People make fun of Jesus. People reject Jesus. That's the first one. And the second one, which we'll look at in a moment, is that people do the opposite. What's the opposite of rejecting? Accepting. Accepting Jesus. Have a look at sentence number 35. We'll go from the start of 35 there. Jesus said, can everyone see it? Jesus said, Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing. While the crowd stood there watching Jesus, the soldiers gambled for his clothes. The leaders insulted him by saying, he saved others, now he should save himself, if he really is God's chosen Messiah. There's two groups of people in there that are having a bit of go at Jesus. Have a look down at the page. Talk to the person beside you. Who are the two groups of people? 10 seconds, go. There's three groups in there, sorry. Okay, group number one. Ah, yeah. Group number one that comes before them. Yeah. I just heard you say it. The crowd. Okay, what are the crowd doing? They're there watching. They're there to have a bit of a gawk. It's what's happening. Jeff, what was the second one? The soldiers are there. They're gambling for his clothes. Here's this guy being crucified on a cross, and they're rolling dice to work out who gets to keep his threads. That's sick. And who are the third group of people? Yeah.
Leaders.
The leaders. The leaders are throwing insults at them. See what they're saying? They're saying, he saved others, now he should save himself if he's really God's chosen Messiah. They're saying, mate, if you're so special, if you really are the special king, come down and save yourself if you're so awesome. You see, Jesus claims, as someone said earlier on, to be the Messiah. That is, see the word Messiah there at the end of verse sentence number 35, the word Messiah. It's a difficult word. It basically means God's chosen king, God's specially appointed king. And so Jesus comes along claiming to be God's special king, the king that God would send to fix the world's greatest problem, to fix the world in the mess that it was in. And so they're saying, if you are this chosen king, if you really are so special, Jesus, come down. What are you doing up there being crucified on a cross for? Have a look at the next verse, sentence number 36. We've got the soldiers, they pop up again. The soldiers made fun of Jesus and brought him some wine. They said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. So the soldiers have a bit of a go too. Do you see what they're saying? It's just like what the leaders have said. They're saying, if Jesus, you are really the king, why are you on that cross? Get off it. Kings don't die on crosses. The creator of the universe doesn't die on a cross. You see, there's lots of people in this scene, in this Bible passage, that are making fun of Jesus. Even the sign writer, just a guy that they've employed to write a sign for them, makes fun of Jesus. Have a look at the next sentence. Above him was a sign that said, this is the King of the Jews. He doesn't really think he's the King of the Jews. You know why he's writing that? He's mocking Jesus. He's making fun of Jesus. He's put Jesus there up on this cross and a sign above his head, the King of the Jews. Yeah, right, whatever. It's a joke. They're making a joke of Jesus when they put that sign above his head. What I want you to do for a moment, just to understand this a little bit better, is I want you to imagine the weirdest kid at school. Okay, it might be you. But it could be, who knows who it is? It might be you, it might be someone else. And one day, they rock up to school genuinely, like being fully for real, claiming to be a Ninja Turtle. Okay? Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. This weird kid at school rocks up and says, I am a Ninja Turtle. Behold my Ninja Turtleness. Now, if you were to make a t-shirt that said, I am a Ninja Turtle, and then give it to that weird kid at school, would you be giving that weird kid at school that t-shirt because you honestly thought he was a Ninja Turtle?
No.
No. Why would you be giving it to him? Because you're making fun of him. You're giving him that t-shirt because you think he's nuts. You think he's an idiot. You think he's crazy. So you give him this t-shirt to make fun of him. That's what the sign writers were doing when they wrote King of the Jews above Jesus' head. They thought he was cuckoo. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was a nut. But wait, there's more. Have a look at sentence number 39. Who have we had so far? Shout him out. Who's mocked Jesus so far that we've seen?
Criminals. Yeah.
Criminals. No, we haven't had them yet. Yeah. The sign writer. Who else? Yeah.
Soldiers.
The crowd. Who else?
Soldiers.
The soldiers. Who else? The soldiers again. Who else?
Leaders.
The leaders. We've got a whole bunch of people that are gathered around the foot of the cross here of Jesus, who are mocking him, who are making fun of him. And then have a look in sentence number 39. Another person, again, makes fun of Jesus. One of the criminals, make sure you put your finger on it, make sure you can see where we're up to, sentence number 39. One of the criminals hanging there also insulted Jesus by saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Can you imagine that? Here is Jesus hanging on a cross. Here is one criminal, and then on the other side, someone who's also hanging on the cross there.
A cross.
He's got the nerve at that point in time, while he's there dying, to turn and face Jesus and to mock Jesus, to make fun of Jesus. He says, aren't you the Messiah? Jesus, aren't you special? Come on, mate. Save yourself and save us too. What are you doing up here? Lots of people are making fun of Jesus. Jesus says he's the king. Jesus came along making all these huge claims that he's the creator of the universe, as someone said before. But now he's dying. He even says that he's God come amongst us, but now he's been executed on a cross. This cannot be the king of the universe, can it? This cannot be the ruler of all the heavens and the earth dying on a cross. Because if Jesus is who he really says he is, why would he be dying? Why would he be hanging there, bleeding, a terrible, horrific death? Lots and lots of people make fun of Jesus. The youth group that I've been part of for the last 10 years is on quite a busy street. And regularly on a Friday night, we'll have people as young as you guys, up to, I don't know, 30-year-olds, who'll poke their head in the door, yell out, Jesus, 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 yeah, and then run on by. not every week, but quite often, at least once a month, someone will run past, do a knock and run, throw eggs in. Those people hate us because they hate Jesus. They're making fun of us because they're making fun of Jesus. They don't like Jesus. Lots of people make fun of Jesus. Maybe you're one of those people who makes fun of Jesus. Maybe the only time you think about Jesus is when you hit your thumb with a hammer and you need to swear. Maybe you're one of those people who likes to tell jokes about Jesus. The big question from the start was, what is it that makes someone reject Jesus? What is it that's made all these people so far that we've seen reject Jesus? Well, to work that out, we're going to look at the only person, at least in this story here, who doesn't. Remember, there was two criminals crucified either side of Jesus. And the second one, the second criminal, he responds differently from the other criminal, from the soldiers. Who else? Who else was there? The leader, the crowd, the sign writer. Is there anyone else? The soldiers were in there twice. Yep. They all respond by rejecting Jesus. This guy over here, he responds to Jesus in the second way by accepting. By accepting Jesus. His response is one where he sees things clearly. Okay? He has something called the Jesus goggles on. Can you... Wait, these are the Jesus goggles. Can you do this? He didn't really do that while he was on the cross because his arms were sort of pinned to the cross, so he couldn't really put the Jesus goggles on like that. But he had some Jesus goggles on, and the Jesus goggles meant that he could see himself clearly and meant that he could see Jesus clearly. So the first thing is he could see himself. Now we might change that to yourself. He could see himself clearly. Have a look at sentence 41. Sentence 40. But the other criminal told the first one off. Don't you fear God? Aren't you getting the same punishment as this man? We got what was coming to us, but he didn't do anything wrong. You see what he's saying? He's saying to the other criminal, he's hanging here, the other criminal's over there, the other side of Jesus, saying, mate, you're an idiot. What are you doing? We're here because we deserve to be here. What are you doing having to go at Jesus for? He didn't do anything wrong. How does this guy see himself, this second criminal? He sees himself clearly. He recognises that he's getting what he deserves. He recognises that he's done something stupid. He recognises that he is guilty and deserves to be there. And so he's going to be punished for it. This second criminal recognises that he's a sinner. Now to sin, can you remember, we talked about sin 2 days ago. What is it to sin? Remember the soccer goal?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go. What is it?
To miss the target.
To miss the target. So sin, in a sense, is when we miss the target. We don't live the way that God wants us to live. We miss the target for how God wants us to. Okay, we go off to the side. So there's part of what it means to sin. But the other part of what it means to sin is our whole attitude. Our whole attitude of not letting God be God. Remember the Burger King? Remember Wally Lewis? How did that work? What did the dweeby little fella say to Wally Lewis? Yeah. He did, and he just kept saying it, then he got the smackdown was done to him. He said, you're not the king, you're nothing, I'm the king. Then Wally Lewis, bang, did the smackdown on that dweeby little fella. That's what we've done to God, that's what sin is. We've waved our puny little fists at the creator of the universe and said, you're not God, I'm God. How foolish. But this man, this second man, the second criminal, he recognises about himself that that's what he's done. He knows he's been a blockhead. He knows he's been a buffhead. He knows he's been a bit stupid. He can see himself clearly. There's lots of people in this story who do not realise that they are lost. Remember, that's what we're doing this week, lost and found. The first criminal didn't. The second criminal did. He recognised that he was lost. he could see himself clearly. The truth is, you may not be a criminal. You may not have robbed a bank yet. You may not have murdered yet. You may not have been to jail
yet.
But what the Bible says is that each of us, you don't have to be a super duper criminal who goes and kills lots of people or robs lots of banks. Each of us have actually sinned against God. We've all said, God, you're not going to be God, I'm going to be God. We've all missed the mark. We've all missed the target. And so for this second criminal, for him to accept Jesus, firstly he has to see himself clearly. He says, look, I'm terrible. I deserve to be here. But secondly, he has to see something else clearly. He has to see Jesus. He sees Jesus clearly. Have a look at, we'll read from 41 again. Finger on sentence number 41. Here's what the second criminal is saying to the other criminal. We got what was coming to us, but he didn't do anything wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your power. What does he recognize about Jesus? He recognizes about Jesus that Jesus is up there not because he deserves it. Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. Jesus doesn't deserve that death. Jesus never sinned. He doesn't deserve to be punished for sin because he never sinned. Unlike everyone else in this scene that we've just read, this second criminal recognizes that Jesus... Remember the sign that was above Jesus' head? What did it say?
King of the Jews.
This second criminal recognizes that even though they were writing a joke there, that it's actually true. He is the King of the Jews. He's actually the King of everyone. And this second criminal, unlike everyone else in this story here, recognizes that Jesus is the King. And so that's why he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into power. What he's saying there is, Jesus, remember me when you come as king. This second criminal clearly sees Jesus. He sees Jesus clearly, and he wants Jesus to be his king. Now, when Jesus died, when King Jesus died, you know what the real pain of the cross was? It wasn't that he had nails driven through his hands. That'd been pretty painful. It wasn't that he had nails driven through his legs down here. It wasn't that he was bleeding. It wasn't that he had cuts all over his back from where he'd been whipped with a cat of nine tails. It wasn't the physical pain that was the worst bit. Do you know what the worst bit of the cross was? Don't need to put your hand up. The worst bit of the cross was that as Jesus hung there, as Jesus bled, as Jesus died, he was taking upon himself what those criminals, what all those people, what all of us deserve for our sin against God. We reject God. We deserve to be punished. Jesus doesn't reject God. He doesn't deserve to be punished. But what does Jesus do? As he dies on that cross 2,000 years ago, he takes upon himself what we deserve for our sin, what we deserve for rejecting God. Now, I'll tell you one thing quickly. It's a little bit like a substitution in soccer. Okay, you know, maybe you're a bit tired, or maybe you haven't been playing too well, you get taken off and someone else comes on. It's as if Jesus is our substitute. That is, in the game of life, we've fallen short, our legs don't work very well, we run the opposite direction, we score our own goals, we do all sorts of terrible things. Jesus actually comes on as the perfect player, as the perfect person. And so when he dies, he actually takes upon himself what we deserve. Now, one of the things about year 7, who's in year 7 currently? Who's in year 8? Okay, about half of us are sort of, and half of us are still in primary school. When you go to year 7, at least at my school, and I think most schools do this, in science, you get to play with magnifying glasses. You may have played with a magnifying glass before. Who's played with a magnifying glass before? Okay. What are some of the things you can do with magnifying glasses? Yeah.
You put it in front of the sun, then you put a leaf there and it burns through the leaf.
Yeah. Fantastic. In year 7 science, we go outside on a nice sunny day. We all get given a magnifying glass. We all have a leaf. And the instruction is, write your name on the leaf with the magnifying glass. You pretty quickly work out that the leaf's a bit boring, and you can actually create a bit of a fire. You can burn ants. Smell. You can hold the magnifying glass near your friend's leg and hope that you can hold it there long enough that they start to get this warm sensation, sharp stinging pain in the leg from the sun beaming down onto their leg. Do you know how a magnifying glass works? I'm not scientific, so this is the very unscientific answer. But imagine a magnifying glass, okay? This is it.
Magnifying.
Okay, what it does is it sucks down, it draws down the rays from the sun, okay, through the glass, through the magnifying glass, and then it focuses them down onto one point, generating a whole bunch of heat so that you can write your name in a leaf, so that you can start a bushfire, so that you can kill an ant, so that you can significantly burn your friend's leg. That's how magnifying glass works. What I want you to imagine for a moment is that what I want you to imagine is a whopping big magnifying glass that's above Jesus' head as he hangs there and he dies. And as Jesus hangs there and he dies, going through that magnifying glass, being sucked in, being drawn in, and then focused down onto Jesus' head, is not just some heat from the sun, but is God's anger, God's punishment for our sin, for all of our sins, such that when Jesus dies on that cross, in that place, 2,000 years ago, as he hangs there and he dies, it's not just the pain of some nails in his hands. He is having poured out upon him, down onto his head, onto his body, the punishment that we deserve. It's all been focused there on Jesus. This second criminal recognizes that Jesus is the King. And although he may not have understood everything about how Jesus' death on the cross worked, Jesus' death became that man's death. Jesus died so that that man wouldn't have to die. And I'm not just talking about a physical death now, but a spiritual death. Being cut off from God forever. Not being in heaven. Not being with God. And so that's why he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your power. Jesus, remember me. You are the King. You've done nothing wrong. I'm the one that's done something wrong. We've been asking a question every day. Means we're about to finish. This is the last time we'll do it for the week. Are you lost or are you found? We had a pretty clear picture there on the cross, didn't we? We've got Jesus in the middle. On this side, this guy was lost and he remained lost. On this side, this guy was lost, but he was found. He came to Jesus. I think, was that a U-turn?
Yeah.
Fantastic, great timing. He came to Jesus. He does a U-turn. He turns back to Jesus. He says, Jesus, you are my King. And do you see what Jesus says? Let us read out that last sentence. Sentence number 43. Jesus replied, he's saying this to the second criminal. I promise that today you will be with me in paradise. The point is this. Those that trust in Jesus and his death and resurrection, those that turn back to Jesus and follow him, they will be forgiven of their sin. They will spend eternity with him, forgiven, in paradise. Remember the question from the start? Why do people reject Jesus? Why do people make fun of Jesus? The reason is because they have failed to do two things. They've failed to see themselves clearly. That is, they look in the mirror and they go, you are so good looking. And they're ugly. And they fail to see Jesus clearly. They mock him. They don't accept him as their King. It means you've got the choice. Not just today. You may not be ready to make the choice yet. But you've got the choice in your life of either mocking Jesus, rejecting Jesus, or accepting him. I really want to encourage you to see yourself clearly. To see Jesus clearly. We've heard about Jesus this week. We've heard all about these things. Maybe as a result of the things you've learnt this week. Maybe you've been going to church all your life. Maybe you've never been to a church before. Maybe this week you want to say, Jesus, remember me when you come as King. Remember me when you come into your power. I'm a goalkeeper. The goalkeeper is the best player on the field, the most important player on the field. Never forget that. They saved the day. Jesus, he is the ultimate goalkeeper. He doesn't just save the day, he saves the world. In his death, in his resurrection, he does that. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to pray the same prayer I prayed yesterday. You might want to pray it today for the first time. You might want to pray it today. Remember, sorry, thanks, and please. You might want to pray it for the 100th time. You may not yet be ready to pray it. But this is a good type of prayer. If you want to turn back to Jesus and become friends with him, this is the type of prayer that would be great to pray. How about you pray with me? Dear God, thank you again for this week. And we want to thank you that we can learn from the Bible. And again, we want to say sorry that we've sinned against you, that we've missed the goal, that we've not treated you as God. For that, we are sorry. But we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for his death upon that cross. We thank you that he died in our place as our substitute so that we wouldn't have to. And we now pray that you would please help us to trust Jesus, to turn to Jesus, and to live for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' great name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Make sure between now and the end of the day, there's lots of soccer. There's lots of soccer still to come. Lots of good times. If you've still got questions, come and ask them to me. Ask them to your leaders. If you're not part of a church or a youth group or a Sunday school or a kids club or a boys club or a scripture class, speak to Barry, speak to one of your leaders, and we'll try to work out how we can help you to keep learning about Jesus. But thanks for having me, and I'll hand back to Barry.